there are things that will be changing on the face of the world. Right? I started this without prayer. Excuse me. My wife, I'm gonna blame it on her. I looked up and
she
distracted me with that wonderful cooking and stuff. And so, yes. And so, anyhow, prayer requests. What's going on, people? What's happening?
What's happening?
So, she's sorry.
Pray that, that God shakes our loved ones.
Amen. Yes.
I mean, there's got to be a love. This is a, in love.
Yeah.
People's eyes have to be open.
Right.
These perilous times are right upon us.
Yes. You know. And we're right in the center of that stuff.
That's
yeah. We do need to pray for our loved ones and pray for the church. It's from what I'm seeing is the church is asleep. And not just a little sleep, they're almost comatose. You know, where you can take... Anybody ever been in one of those so deep sleeps? I know you haven't in a long time.
No.
You know, sleep. But anyhow, in those deep you feel the sleep. You're so asleep. Yeah, sleep is such a sleep that you're dreaming about sleeping. You know, you're there. It's not a deep part. I believe that the church in this day and time is in that type of comatose, deep, lethargic sleep. Even if you told them the truth, they wouldn't understand.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You were with some Christians, but even trying to share some of the things we've learned.
Yeah.
It's already, you know, like, no. Even
right.
though, you know, it's like, at least be open to hearing,
right.
but no.
Well,
no.
You won't open your Bible, look at it. You know, and but they're asleep. And then there's those who don't know the Lord, right? Our loved ones that are lost. And they need to wake up. You know, they will not wake up on their own. They need a fresh calling of God in their personal lives. That God would shape them, you know.
Yeah.
We prayed several times that the Lord would put you in a spot, or my children in a spot, where they would have to look up to God. You know, that all of everything that they held on to and used as a teddy bear or a sucky thing. We never call them pacifier, we all call them the sucky thing. You get the sucky thing. That's all you know.
But you got to be prepared when you ask God to do whatever it takes to let God do whatever it takes.
You can't rescue him out of it.
No.
Right?
You have to let God deal with it. It's a very hard prayer.
It is a hard prayer because I pray that for my daughters every single day.
Yeah.
So if you pray, you want them to be blessed, you want things to go well in their life, but you realize this may not be what's needed.
Right.
Yeah, no, I mean, but whatever's going to take them to obey you, follow you and obey you, and whatever that is.
That's a hard prayer.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, it may not. They might end up on skid row.
Yep.
You know, they might end up, you know, deeper in the drug problem than they ever were.
Yes.
They might alienate everybody around them, but trust God.
It's still the mercy of God.
It's still the mercy of God.
That's right.
And if I could ask for a specific request, please. So Orville and our daughter's coming in Wednesday night, and just praying that she'll come with us to church, that she'll be open to it. I'm planting kind of the seeds there right now, because she's very COVID and masked.
Well, if she wants to wear the mask, she can. And if she wants, I have my full rubber face mask.
And the other thing is, though, too, is she's grown up in another church, so for her to go somewhere else that she never has from birth,
Amen. Praise God. We need to lift that up. If you're not having Thanksgiving at your house, you're looking for some fellowship, we're having Thanksgiving at our house. And none of our kids want to come. So anybody else who wants to come can come. You know? And so, again, that whole awakening thing that we're talking about, Deb had a talk with her son. She probably needs to tell us more than that because I wasn't on the phone. But the deception is so great for the times that we're living in. And you tell them stuff and they cannot see it. I don't mean to say that they will not see it. I truly believe that there's no amount of speaking that's going to get them to that point of understanding what time it is.
Vaccine damaged.
Vaccine damaged, yeah. And so any other prayer phrases? Well, let's go to the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, your grace, the love that you've loved us with. And I pray, Father, even now for the congregation that you have here gathered to study your word and to look into the principles and the times and the seasons, Lord Jesus, that we're coming into. Lord, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the blood that was shed for my sin to cover my iniquity, Father. You took it on your shoulders. Lord, I praise you for that. Father, we want to remember you and thank you and worship you because you're worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. Lord, we have loved ones that need a touch from you, that need a call from you, that more than breath, more than life itself, needs you to move over them and to awaken them out of their slumbers. And so, Father, we pray for that. I lift up my sons and my stepsons, Father, our grandchildren, Lord Jesus, that they would come to the knowledge of the Most High God, Lord, before the day, before this world comes. And, Lord, I ask that you would move over them. Lord, I pray for the churches that are sucked into this deep deception, Lord, Father, that you would stir, shake, awaken the body of Christ, Father, in these times that we're living in. And, Lord, we thank you and ask that, Lord. We pray for, the fear. We come against the fear of this little bitty virus, Lord Jesus. We come against the thoughts of the frightening and the worries about death, Lord Jesus. We just pray that you would move over us, shelter us, keep us held underneath the shelter of your wings. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we ask all those things and so many more in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And so, the signs of the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. All right, we know Daniel 70th week, he talks about Daniel chapter 9. And in that, he talks about, there's a confirmed, that's 9:27. Anybody want to open up and read that? Real quick, so you won't just think of my ideal.
9:27,
yeah. Just have one little bit of scripture right there.
Oh.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate.
Amen. Now, look at what the angel had exposed to Daniel. When this is Gabriel talking to him, he says, listen, these are the things that are going to happen. At the beginning of the 70th week, okay, you're going to see there will be a covenant happening. It doesn't say that you're going to see it. You know, how many here know that there are contracts and stuff signed every day that you know nothing about?
Right.
Especially in that world that we looked at last week, where the ten horns are and all that kind of stuff, all of those powers and principalities behind the governments, they're always wheeling and dealing, I guess you call it that. So this covenant is being signed for many for 1 week. So we know that it's 1 week, that is the beginning of the 70th week, right? And we know that will be a marker for these things to start taking place.
A week of years.
A week of years, yes.
7 years.
So it's 7 year time. And so at the very beginning of the 7 year period, they call it the tribulation period. All right, so the last 3.5 years is considered Jacob's trouble, right? They're just this it increases. So in the first three, what he says.
So in verse 27 here, this 1 week you're saying is 7 years, and
yes.
That 7 years is the 7 years of
tribulation. Yes. Yeah. Because what makes us know about this is the abomination of desolation. All right, that happens at the midway point that he talks about. He will come and. Verse 14.
Desecrate the temple.
Yeah, he'll desecrate them and confirm the covenant for and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice of oblation to cease. Okay, so in the middle of that, so 3.5 years, yeah, there's this abomination of desolation that happens. Jesus spoke about the same time period in Matthew 24, which is where we started all this study from. So in Daniel's day, and I was doing some research into this week, Daniel may have been looking to Antiochus Epiphanes, okay? Because there, that happened 167 years before the birth of Christ, the Maccabean revolt. And so what had happened is this Assyrian ruler had come into Jerusalem. He had went into the temple, Solomon's temple, and well, it wasn't Solomon's temple. This was the rebuilt temple by Ezra and Nehemiah, that temple. So Solomon's temple was broke down way back in Babylonian days. So anyhow, there's this new temple, Herod's temple, I guess is what you call it, that was being built or had been built. And this Antiochus Epiphanes had come in and he sacrificed swine on the altar of God. So Daniel, looking back, as he is way back in 606 B.C., that's when he started getting this revelation, when he started seeing these things happening. So he was very possibly looking to that first place. But when Jesus warned about it, he was 167 years on the other side of history from that. So Jesus is pointing to a time of the abomination of desolation written of by the prophet Daniel, right? So he's pointing to a future event. He wouldn't be saying, look out for something that happened 167 years ago. Right? So this, we'll see some things that are going to happen in this. There'll be a covenant that is confirmed with many. What I see that, and we don't know the whole depth of this, we know that President Trump's son-in-law, what's his name?
Jared
Kushner, started a work of a peace treaty with Israel and the descendants of Esau. Right?
Moab.
Moab. Oh, yeah. Well, Moab's part of that. Well, it was Esau. Yeah, because he's bringing Esau and Jacob back together. Okay, Jacob, right? That is a Hebrew. His name was changed to Israel. And Esau had 12 kings that came out of him. Those 12 kings that he's trying to make peace with, those are Saudi Arabia, the AEO.
Jordan,
those groups of people, and this treaty has already started, and we know of three that have joined it already and are signed into it. There may be many more that are interested in this and just haven't come public yet.
And that was the Abraham Accord.
Yes, started in September. So if that is this, if that Abrahamic Accord, and that's a big if, because I don't know for sure, right? And nobody knows for sure. We do know that the first of the 7 years of the tribulation period starts with a covenant. And it's going to be signed with many people, right? A lot of people are going to be involved in this, and a lot of nations are going to come along beside this. And we know that in the midway point, 42 months, 3.5 years, 1,260 days, however how you want to count it, that he's going to sit down and he's going to break that covenant. He's going to desolate the temple. So, if by chance, all right, this is I'm saying if a lot because I just don't know, right? So if you don't know, just leave it out there that you don't know. I'm seeing some things, but I just don't know. Something's got to happen right here. All right, if this Abrahamic Accord is indeed that, then the temple or a type of the temple to permit the sacrifice in Jerusalem to start again, the blood sacrifices, so the shedding of the blood of the lambs and stuff like that. So we know we'll need the brazen altar, right? You know that you're going to need the Ark of the Covenant. You know that you're going to need the blood of the red heifer. There's several things that have got to come together for that. There's got to be a peace treaty that it could be done on the Temple Mount, right? It has to be there. It can't be anywhere else. So there's still some foggy areas. We just don't know yet. Some of the things I do know is that the implements for the sacrificial worship for Israel are already gathered. They already have it. It's well documented. have the priests, they have the Urim and Thummim, the breastplate of the priest, this 12 stones, you know, what were those called? The Ufram?
Thurim.
Thurim and
Urim.
Thurim and Urim. Yeah, so anyhow, you go back to Leviticus or Deuteronomy, you can see what those stones are. But they have those, right? And we know that they have a pretty healthy group of true, bona fide red heifers. And the sacrifice cannot begin without the ashes of a bona fide red heifer. Now, that's a heifer of at least 3 years old that has absolutely no other hairs, colored hairs on it except for red.
And what's interesting about that is that historically there was no red heifers.
Yes. Yeah.
They're gone, and now they've reappeared.
No, no.
Yeah.
By themselves. I mean, they just started showing up on the scene. Yeah. All right? And it's funny, they're only showing up in Israel. They're not showing up, you don't find them in Canada.
Is a red heifer a red cow?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Or your old girlfriend. Yeah. go ahead.
And what's, I know different, there are different terms for different types of cows. What is a heifer? Is it like neutered or?
No, I think an average is a female, isn't it?
It's a female?
Yeah.
Female. So what's the significance of why a heifer, why not a bull?
Well, a bull is, you know,
is. Yeah. A heifer is a young cow, especially one that has not yet given birth to a calf.
Oh, okay.
What, a virgin?
So like a virgin cow.
A
virgin
cow.
Yeah. Okay.
Like a virgin. Moo!
And so, we know that those things are being produced, they're coming from God, it's happening, right? It's just, those things are just coming to be. And so we know that the implements are there, that the priests have been trained already for the sacrifice. In fact, I think this past year they had the first dry run of what the sacrifices would look like. Okay, they didn't have actual blood sacrifices, but the priests were there, the implements were there, all of the stuff that it would take to make the sacrifice happen. So they did a practice run right in the beginning of this year. Right? You can Google that and find it. You know, it's out there. So we know that this very well could be what we're seeing in our day and time right now. That covenant, it could be this. If it is this, then there are some other evidences, not just for Hebrews, but for the church to be looking out for. We know that Paul talked, and Peter talked, and John talked, and Jesus talked about some certain things that would be happening in the body of Christ that has not happened since the birth of the church. One is the love of many is going to wax cold, right? Because iniquity shall abound. What's iniquity? Sin. Lawlessness is another way. I mean, it is sin, but it's lawlessness in general. And we know that all lawlessness is sin, but when we say sin, we think of, you know, fornication, stealing, stuff like that. But how about where the judges are making something righteous, unrighteous? How about when the laws are made that it's against the law to meet together and to worship the Lord? Lawlessness is going to start abounding. It's going to get, it's waxing worse and worse as we see the day approaching. So in that, we're seeing some things. I have some scriptures here, and it says in 2 Peter 3:1-9. Anybody want to go there, or I'll go there with you. We can keep it back. Because these are just some telltale signs.
The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Read 10 also, please.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervor, with the fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Hey, how are you? And so when you read that and looking at the beginning of the 7-year period, right, when you see that, what are some telltale signs that you see that Peter's talking about?
Today, telltale signs.
Well, but right here, just in the scripture, what did Peter say in the last days it will look like?
The people are going to be like, what are you talking about?
Scoffers.
He's been, yeah, just
scoffers.
He's been saying this for so long that he's going to be coming.
Exactly. I talk to a lot of born again believers in Jesus Christ that say this very almost word for word, this very same thing. Nothing has changed since the beginning. It's all the same. Right? Has anybody else had those conversations? Or is it just me? You know? If you're not getting that type of answer, chances are you ain't speaking about it. Because if you talk to somebody right now that we may be coming up at the rise of the little horn, they would think that you're absolutely crazy because nothing has changed.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they don't see, like, the things that we, you know, like these things that they're talking about, the accords and
yes.
the things you said in January, where they're already practicing for, to do the sacrifices. The average person isn't seeing this or learning it, so they don't
well,
know.
Well, they're just not looking
right.
for it.
Well, Scripture says, be not ignorant.
Yes.
And ignorance is a choice.
Thank you so much for that.
See?
You're like a Bible scholar.
Absolutely not. No,
we're
here. I'm just a little
kindergarten. It's a ring around the scholar.
But, I mean, we have to choose the ostriches and put our heads in hand and ignore things. And it's scary.
Yeah.
It's easier to ignore it than it is to pay attention.
Or just acknowledge. And like I said at the beginning of this, I don't know. Because I don't know if this confirmation has happened. We can't really say that for sure, but there are certain evidences that definitely point to that.
Or like we were talking about before, is putting all of it out there and letting people decide and think about it and let the Holy Spirit guide us, but if we're never taught it.
Yeah.
And so then when we put that out there, it's like, what are you talking about? And that's what this is saying here, like you were just saying, we're choosing to be ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
Or reject it.
Yeah, or reject it. And they're saying scoffers. Another word for that is mockers. They're saying, yeah, I know that these things are going to happen, but not right now. You know, wickedness is going to abound, all right, but not right now. It is not as bad as what I think it's going to be. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, and we'll talk about that a little bit in the sermon today, because when he talks about as it was in the days of Noah, he talks about people just being living life, all right, just sticking to the scripture, not going into the supernatural stuff, but he said they're going to be marrying and giving in marriage, eating and drinking, just like it was in the days of Noah before the door was shut and everybody died, all right?
And if you look at that, that's exactly what it is today.
Yes.
And what did Jesus say? He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the last days.
Yeah.
But there is this whole thing about your body being the temple of God.
Yes. Yeah.
So there's this thought that when Satan comes into Satan wants to sit on the throne of God.
Right.
What is the throne?
There you go. That's a great question. Where is the throne of God?
It's here. This is the temple.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost. It's the body.
It's the body. Right? So you know that you are the body of Christ, right? And in you is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
When God made man in his own image, let us make mankind in our image. And he scooped up the mud, and he breathed into it, and it became a living soul. That set up some things inside of the human body that is not in anywhere else found in the natural world.
Yep.
We have a spot for the Most High God. A throne room in our hearts. Exactly what you're talking about.
So what was Noah? The Bible says that Noah was a man who was perfect in his generations.
Yeah.
His genes.
There you go.
So when the sons of God, the angelic hosts, came into the daughters of men,
mm-hmm.
there was Nephilim.
Yes.
There was perversion of his creation. That's why he flooded the earth. It's so important for people to understand. It wasn't God wasn't being mean.
Right.
This was a major league reset.
Mm-hmm.
I'm clearing the boards.
Right.
Took Noah, who was a man who was perfect in his generations, his
yes.
genes.
His genes.
That is the
yeah.
root word.
Yeah.
Hadn't been corrupted.
What is Nephilim?
Nephilim were the offspring of angelic hosts breeding with humankind.
That's right. They were giants in the land. That's what Anak, the sons of Anak, when Israel went into the land. I'm sorry, Jeff.
When Israel went into the land,
they encountered the sons of Anak. They said there's giants in the land. And that's why the spies that went in, the 10 spies, that said, the land has got everything we need. It's beautiful. But there's giants in the land. And they eat the inhabitants thereof. So that was going on too.
Yeah.
Right?
So,
and it's going to be again. This is happening. It's going to happen again.
All right. So looking at this, so you go back to Genesis when they crossed the Red Sea and they're walking, coming up to the gateway of the Promised Land, right? Moses sent spies, 12 spies into the land. 10 of them came back that were absolutely shaking in their boots.
That's what Joshua and Caleb.
Joshua and Caleb.
They said, we can do it.
And they said, if God's with us, we can take care of this. Giants, no giants, doesn't matter. But everybody listened to the Brady cast.
Yep.
All right? Everybody put on a mask and shut their churches and went home.
What do you think of it? Why did Israel wander in the desert for 40 years?
That
because they were scared
yes.
of the offspring of the angels. That's why in Jude we talked about them being reserved for the judgment.
Yeah.
Second Peter 2.
Yes.
Some of those angelical, some of them angels were put in reserve in the judgment.
Yeah, but the real reason was the fact that they had even made the statement that we were better off in Egypt.
Right.
Well, this that was that.
But that's why they did 40 years in the. If you're not going to trust me.
Well, God said go into the land. They said they.
It wasn't. And the word from the Lord said that this generation shall not enter into the land.
Yeah.
So everybody who was 21 years old and above died in the desert. It took 40 years.
Right. And so you're saying they didn't make that statement before they did the 40 years?
What's that?
I missed the statement.
The statement was, we were better off in Egypt.
Oh.
Did he bring us out here to die?
Yeah.
We were better off in Egypt than to be here.
That was actually, they said that even before they encountered the giants.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so there was already, God was already.
So it's mistrust of God
right.
was why they did 40 years of in the desert.
Yeah.
And didn't they say that multiple times?
Yeah,
they said it multiple times.
Water, you brought us here to die.
How can you sit together like that? You're supposed to be 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
Okay? You mean you guys haven't separated?
As it was in the days of Noah.
Yeah.
The Bible says, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So what was happening in the days of Noah was the manipulation of the genetics.
Genetics, yes.
Right.
So we're back in
that
DNA.
We're all going
back to where it started. They're tapping into another creation that is a hybrid mutant third strand DNA.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's what she said in the original text that you sent me, the hour and 20 minutes.
So, she had the new people here.
Honest.
Yeah. Now, we have new people here, and we might be scaring the bejesus out. So this is all part of those scoffers, all right? The people who are denying. And there are those folks who will resist, all right? Against 2 Thessalonians, he who led it will let until he's taken out of the way, all right? And that you can go through any Greek, the oldest Greek or the newest Greek or any of the Greek, always that letter comes down to resist. Always. You go through it, no matter which Greek you want to use or Hebrew, it always comes to resist. He who resists will resist until he takes taken out of the way. Resisting what?
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
No, you're right. Resisting what?
Did you hear what I was saying?
So, you tried with that. Do you have mill on that hat? Do you have aluminum foil on that hat? So, exactly what does that resisting mean? Those who will not be vaccinated, those who will not be masked, those who will not separate, those who will not stand for same-sex marriage, those who will not stand for abortion, those who will not stand for the powers of the 10 horns that we talked about last week.
Stand out like a sword thumb.
Stand out like a sword thumb. And they'll know those people. And it's going to be very easy to identify them in the real soon future.
Crystal clear.
All right? And especially if indeed this vaccine is everything that we truly believe that it is, all right? If you've been here, we've gone into detail about that. If it really and truly is nanotechnology, CRISPR technology that they're putting in this vaccine, changing the very DNA to people and your...
Who you are. Yeah.
Right. And if this really is that, it will be just like as it was in the days of Noah.
There you go. Bingo.
All right? And that's a huge if. I believe that it is. Yeah. All right? But that's me personally. I can be wrong. Right? Yeah. And I want to hold on to that. I pray that I am wrong.
So,
yeah. I really do. I hope that this is no more than just a booger fluke, right? And this is just one of those things. That's what I hope, but what I'm seeing is something different. All right? What I'm seeing is the little horn rising, the powers and principalities are taking their thrones. All of these things are unfolding, even as we're gathered. Yes, sister.
I'm interested in nanotechnology.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
she's got to watch that video sometime.
Yeah. We talked about that. It's so deep.
I'll look it up at home.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's
And I've also got a booklet that you gave me. I've also got a medical one. Okay. I got some stuff I can bring.
Right. You're probably not hearing this anywhere else.
No, they're removing it. They don't want people to know this.
Yes.
They don't know. You've got DARPA and Department of Defense involved in this.
You don't see a lot of these videos on YouTube because they've been taken off. They wore them, but
they don't. I'd love to talk about that. Yes. That's a great point that Paul brought up last week about the Lord. I mean, is he God? Yes. Could he protect us from whatever? So how do we square that as far as taking it? Do we think so?
Okay, we got too many conversations going on here.
Okay.
All right, next. Too many conversations going on at once. Let's go. And so anyhow, we'll get into that as time approaches, but we have a good question, a good conversation point on the table. All right, how do we swear that God is still in control if all of these things are happening? Let me ask you this. Was God in control in Hitler's day? He's sovereign, right? He's always in control. Thank you. No matter whether it's good or bad. Can God protect you? Well, it says, and it tells us in the Revelation, whoever does not have the seal of God will take the mark of the beast. There is a protection there. Alright? But that doesn't mean that you're physically protected. Talk to the Christians who were burned to death at Rome. Talk to the Christians just recently that were burned to death in cages in the Middle East. Right?
when we think of protection, we think, oh, you know, he's going to protect me from losing my job, which is really not God's idea of protection.
Where is our protection at?
Our soul.
Right. We are kept in Christ Jesus. This body, it's going to die. Every ounce of it's going to die, it's going to turn back to dirt. Is God sovereign in that? Absolutely. So, yes, Mike.
Yeah, don't you say somewhere in the Bible that, like, one third of all.
In Revelation, yes, it does.
One third of all the animals.
For me, this begs another question, but I've got to know.
Yeah.
And hopefully, it's not too much of a rabbit trail. I'm a huge Second Amendment supporter. And I know in Hitler's Germany, there was no Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was a Christian living then, and if I had weapons, what should I have done? Should I have blasted my way through the Nazis, or should I have just submitted?
Mm-hmm. Well, what Jesus says, when this time comes, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. Those who are in captivity will be led into captivity. So there'll be two types of people here. Those who fight back and die, and those who are led into captivity. All right, and can you fight back? Still have your salvation? Absolutely, I believe that you can. But you're going to die with your gun in your hand. If you desire not to die with your gun in your hand, then you'll go into captivity. And what will happen there? The Bible talks about people's heads will be taken. There'll be a guillotine set up, and you'll be chopped.
So be it.
Yeah. All right. Either way, we know that from Daniel and from the Revelation that this guy here who makes the abomination of desolation at the 3.5-point week of the tribulation makes war against the saints and starts with P and ends with Evel.
Prevails.
What does prevail mean?
Win.
He wins.
All right. He doesn't win the war.
He doesn't win the war, but that is a battle that the Christians, got to understand this now. My victory is not in this kingdom. Jesus said, if this were my kingdom, then my people would fight. But this is not my kingdom. Our kingdom is not here. Mm-hmm. Right? We have a kingdom in Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms above all this other stuff. Right? So remember, we don't war against flesh and blood, but against power, or principalities and powers in the heavenly realms. That's where the real fight's going on. Now we're seeing it. We're physically seeing it in the now time, in the physical time that we're in, by all these things that are going on.
Yeah.
All right, Jesus said, not even the angels or the Son knows the day, except the Father only. Right? And that's paraphrasing, really chopped up horribly bad. But he says that nobody knows the day, nobody knows the hour, but the Father. The angels don't know it. The Son of Man doesn't know it. None of you guys are going to know it. We do know that he's going to come as a thief in the night. That's why I had us go ahead and read into verse 10. When Jesus comes, it'll be just like it was in the days of Noah. The saved people will be in the ark, and the door will be shut. All right? And remember, they were in the dark. Does anybody even know how long Noah's boat bobbed around?
150 days?
Well, actually, it's 150 days, another 150 days to dry up a year. 360-day year. Right? 300 days. 10 months. Yeah, for 10 months he's bobbing around. Even the bottom. Remember how many windows and sunroofs there were in the ark? None. All right? So there wasn't a whole lot of light in there. So they were kept safe in a grave until the day of redemption, when the floods disappeared and the ark was opened up. You'll be kept safe in the ark of Jesus Christ until the day of redemption. Right? Until the resurrection. The church is going to die, from what I can see in Scripture. All right, the church, the ecclesia, right? Now the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Against the church, the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because that's the rock that he was talking about being built on, the church being built on. Do I need to go through the whole thing, or is everybody up to page? Okay. So we know that the gates of hell will not prevail against the confession and the belief by faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Satan will not conquer that. being born again.
God's possession.
That
we have his possession.
Sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, Ephesians chapter 2. Right? I think it's verse 8, isn't it? That you are sealed by the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. So we have a time period that we're held right there. And it's a good place to be. So does it really matter if the Antichrist wins? If we go through the full 7 years of tribulation, right? If by chance we go all the way through that, does it matter?
No.
No.
Doesn't matter. One of the worst teachings I think I've ever believed in my life is that we wouldn't see any of this.
Yes.
Right. All right? That I would really and truly, because if this is right, I ought to already be in glory with the Father right now. I was taught not to look for the Antichrist, but to listen to the trumpet, right? Don't look for this stuff.
The thought, the seven-year tribulation would be the covenant that would be the initiator
yes.
of that seven
yeah.
years. So, if this covenant is, and it's got to be confirmed.
Yes, it's got to be confirmed.
So this confirmation, and it doesn't have to be a public statement.
No.
I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's confirmed already.
Yeah.
The covenant
yeah.
that's being presented to the masses.
Well, could be.
It'd be already confirmed, and yeah, I know.
You know,
where
and
are we?
It is, that means
we're
already in this first 3.5 year period.
Yeah.
What makes me think that we're in the first 3.5 period? Look at the evidences that Paul wrote to Timothy and Peter wrote up to the church. What were the evidences? And that's what we're looking at. The signs of the beginning of Daniel's 70th
Pestilence.
Pestilence, all those things. But those were just the beginning of the most.
Yeah.
Right? Those are things that are going to happen from the resurrection of Christ all the way up until that time.
But you know what's interesting? It also said, maybe Luke, it says that before these things, they will bring you into the synagogue.
That's it.
And they will
yes.
scourge, you know, they'll.
Yeah.
They'll, so before these things,
yeah.
the persecution of the church begins.
Begins.
Judgment begins the house of God.
Yeah, amen.
It's going to just start at us.
Yeah.
But where's it going to be when it ends with them?
Right.
There's going to be nothing left.
And if the saved are scarcely saved, if the righteous are scarcely saved, then what will be of those who don't know the Lord at all? Right? All right, so check this out just in your mind, just right here where we're at, thinking about these things. Peter said there's some things. First, know this first shall come in the last days, scoffers walking about in their own lusts. Have you ever seen people in your lifetime or in your grandparents' lifetime, ever seen any group of people like we have right now? Walking around in their own little selfie world, right? In their own little mindset. Right? So I think that I'm seeing right now more than I've ever seen about self-indulged people in their own lives. And they keep asking, where's the promise? Things are the same as they always have been. Nothing's ever changed. Right? When I was coming up, that was never a thought.
Right.
You know? And now, even the unbelievers say that nothing has changed. The church, most of the church people, born-again believers in Jesus Christ, that I know, or they confess to be born again, will say that this can't be that time because it's the same as it's always been.
Setup is perfect.
It's a
perfect
setup. Because when you talk about the virus, right, how they shut the world down in 3 days, bam! All right? How this next go-around, they're already telling you how many people you can have in your home.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Not just here, but all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
The infection.
Yes.
It's just been quick.
Quick.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say, in the restaurant, we had 5 of us, and they did not let us sit together. We had to sit 4 at a table, and then 2 had to get, or 1 person at the other table, so one of us had to sit with the other person, otherwise they would have been by themselves. And you're also a distance, so you're trying to talk to your relatives. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's ridiculous. This is the time that we're seeing. Remember, this is the foundation work of the mark of the beast that's coming. It is mind control. They're training us how to fit inside of the cattle stalls. Or in Germany, say, they're training you how to fit inside of the train cars that lead you to Auschwitz.
Mm.
So, Pastor Curtis, could I had a Christian come up and ask and say this to me this week, and I just was like, I didn't even respond because I wasn't sure how to respond.
Mm-hmm.
They said, God is not king right now. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They said, if God was king, then he's not doing a very good job. And there is a time that Satan is ruling. And this is she said, if you look at the world right now, you can see that it's like, but to me, is that more that God permits, like the permissive, that
there
he's still king and he's still on the throne,
so,
but
I wasn't part of this conversation, but what I would imagine, all right, this is my imagination, there is a time where Jesus will physically be in charge on the earth for 1,000 years. All right, there will be a millennial reign of Christ on this earth. That's not right now. Okay, and so if he's saying, if that's where they're coming from, they're absolutely right. We do know that Lucifer is the prince of the power of the air, right? That he is in charge of the world scene right now. If you look at the beast that came up out of the sea that we talked about in Revelation 14, something like that last week, and the horn and the 10 beasts and the woman who rides the beast and all that kind of stuff, they derived their power from the dragon. They got their authority, their power, their crowns, their kingdoms from Lucifer. We know that Lucifer had the authority to give that because he offered it to Jesus in the temptation. Right? If you'll just worship me, he brought him here, he brought him there, and you know, Lucifer offered those that he would be worshipped as king, but not as God right now. So we know that Lucifer has the authority to give those powers. Is Lucifer in charge of this world? I guess is the question. Okay. All right, we have evidence that he is. Now remember, Lucifer is just a mad dog on a short leash.
Well, he's only in charge because God
allows
him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's in control.
Okay.
Because we can align ourselves with God, in which case God can work through us to influence others in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to let Lucifer.
No, we don't.
Allowing to influence us?
As individuals, you're absolutely right. Okay, with individuals, if you're born again, you have the power of the Holy Ghost in you. You are more than conquerors on this planet, no doubt. But the powers that are running the election thing right now. Where's all of that confusion coming from? Is that coming from humans or is it coming from something more spiritual? The influence of COVID right now on the world scene.
Because people are not either educated on God or they don't know. So they're aligning with something. I don't know how they're doing it.
Right.
I don't understand. They're lying with science or whatever.
They're walking in the flesh and not in the spirit.
Right.
Okay, who controls your flesh? You think you do. But if you're born, if you're not born again, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your flesh is still being controlled by your lusts. And your lusts are controlled from the fall of mankind, which was the authority of Lucifer.
Influence. I mean, we're also the fall too.
Mm-hmm. So is God in charge? He's sovereign. Amen. But he holds to his word stronger than he holds to his name. All right? And so God has said in his word that Lucifer has a time. He has the opportunity to deceive man. That's the picture of that is Job. Right? The angels of the Lord were, the sons of God were coming before the Lord on a certain day. And the Lord said to Lucifer, where have you been? Lucifer said, I've been roaming over the earth, right? And God said, have you considered my servant Job? So God pointed Job out, all right? And Lucifer said, yeah, but I can't touch him because you put a hedge around him. But if you take the hedge away, then he will curse you to his face. So God said, all right, you can do anything but take his life. That happened twice, right? And so who did the problem? Who made all the problem happen? Lucifer. But under the authority of God.
God's permissive will.
God's permissive will.
Yeah.
All right? So the things that are going on right now that are horrible in our in the world right now, the murders, the abortions, the just rampant wickedness all over on every side. Do you know that the homosexuals just came out of the closet, or the pedophilia folks just came out of the closet, and they said, we need the same rights as GLTBQXYZ. Okay, we need those same rights as they do. And you know what? The governor of California said, you're right. You have the right to rape children. Okay? Tell me that's God's will.
No, I'm saying, but that guy is not aligned with God.
Right, he
isn't. So it's his choice.
Yes.
He's choosing not to align.
And so many people are not aligning with God.
You'll serve a master.
He's an enemy of God.
He's an enemy of God.
He's a liar.
And so the thing that we're seeing here, Cam, and this is might be like boosh in your head just for a second, but there's more against the will of God than there are for the will of God. Again, in the end times, there will be a falling away. All right? There will be a falling away before the son of perdition is exposed. What's that, 2 Thessalonians? Right? He said, what you're going to see is there's going to be a bunch of people leaving the faith. There's going to be a bunch of people believing the lie and not the truth. God says, I'll send a strong delusion to those people to blind them because they did not love the truth. How many people that are going to churches right now believe that same-sex marriage is okay? How many women or homosexuals are in the pulpits? Go ahead, sis.
Well, it also says in this Thessalonians that it's longer that God will send a strong delusion that they should really lie, that they all might begin to believe our truth. And have
sure.
In them, right?
Yes.
What scripture is that?
2 Thessalonians. It should be 2:3-17. In fact, it's the next scripture that we're going to read.
For pleasure.
No, we're still in Peter.
No, we haven't
done it. We haven't done it there yet. So if you want to open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, read verse 3-17. And you're going to see some things there that we have never seen out of the closet like it's right now. Okay? And anybody there, you can read it. 2 Thessalonians.
Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man shall be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. How far did he want to go?
17.
Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should be evil-eyed, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
All right. So in that portion of Scripture, there's some things that you see. All right, in the beginning of that, in chapter 3, let no man deceive you. What was the first thing that Jesus said in 24, answering those three questions of the disciples? Don't be deceived. All right, don't be deceived. All right, so Paul here writing to that church says, don't let no man deceive you, that day has come, except there be a falling away first. So in the falling away, what happens now? Is he talking about the world or is he talking about the church?
Church.
Church. Amen? Church. There'll be many people who no longer believe the gospel anymore. All right? There'll be a lot of people not believing the word. In the church, there'll be a falling away of sound doctrine. They'll be heeding to themselves teachers with itching ears. There's a lot of things that go along with that. People preaching another gospel, which is not the gospel, because we know there's only one gospel, or one gospel of salvation. There's a lot of good news in the Bible, because gospel only means good news. So. But there's only one good news that brings you to salvation. And anybody believing something other than that is deceived. Right? And he says, don't be deceived. There's going to be a falling away. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of destruction, perdition. So, as the church, you know, you're talking about God's in charge, He's sovereign, and all that kind of stuff. When the ranks of the believers stop believing what the Bible says, the wicked is easier to take control. Right? If you're outnumbered, all right, let's look at it just in the chess pieces. You have your queen and your king on your chessboard. Everything else has been killed, and the other guy has all of his pieces. You're pretty much whipped. Mm-hmm. Right? And what we've seen is a mass falling away in the last, from the 60s to the 2000s, of the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the churches. And I blame it on the pulpits. All right, it's the preacher's fault. Because the preachers really haven't been teaching the truth. They've been saying, well, you know, God's all love, so go ahead, if you can't have the one you love, then love the one you love. Right? You don't have to abstain from sexual activity until you're married. Just go ahead and do that stuff. You know, stealing's really not a sin. God will forgive you that. Go ahead and steal. You know, go ahead.
There's a guy, Chuck Baldwin, preacher, and he's kind of he's got a little bit of a strange doctrine, end times, and all mm-hmm. but the guy can preach, and he says he blames all that's happening in this country on the pulpits.
Yeah.
He's a preacher. He said, when he started here, he started the pulpits.
Go ahead.
But if moms and dads could teach their kids, and then their kids teach their kids, like, some too, the family structure mm-hmm. kind of is. Like, if we had that to pass on to my kids, that's what I'm saying. If my kids think I'm the wrong stuff, they're going to pass on the wrong stuff.
Exactly. And so, look at that. When did the family structure get attacked the worst?
I feel like you're saying 1917 or when the education system...
Well, that was the education. That's when they...
I don't know the name.
Yeah, 1830s. 1830s, all right?
Okay.
In the 1830s, we took the teaching of our kids and gave it to the federal government.
Right.
All right, and the federal government started training teachers to teach what they believe, their doctrines, not necessarily about what you taught. See, I'm sure as your kid was in first and second grade, you would not have them read a book that my daddy has a boyfriend. Right? You would not do that. But that's something that has been taught in the public education system right now.
Right.
All right? So you're right. If the parents would have taken care and not given the authority... Given the authority over.
I didn't know I was doing that, though. That's the weird thing.
Mm-hmm. Because you were brought up in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, school's great. You've got to have a college education.
Right.
Who here was brought up with that thought? My parents told me to get out of school. You're too dumb for school. So, go ahead, Sam.
Yes. In modern era, okay,
Now, we can talk about, you know, like...
Way back then.
But if we look at, from like 1954, for the last 70 years...
70 years, thank you.
Right? Welfare.
Come on. That's a good spot.
Welfare
That's a good spot.
Has replaced the father.
Yes.
So, you can have a child outside of wedlock. We'll provide you with welfare, food stamps, housing, cell phone. We'll provide you with cable TV. We'll provide you with every medical care.
And dad doesn't need to be there, right?
Dad doesn't need to be there. So,
and the more kids you have.
Right.
The more kids you have, the more money you get.
Yeah.
Welfare has really replaced the father. Now, so you don't have that family unit, that traditional God-created family unit. So therefore, since you don't have that family unit, and they don't follow scripture, and they don't follow the teachings of the church, and they don't follow the Bible, and they don't go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so doesn't matter what comes out of the pulpit.
Yeah.
Because even if the pulpit was preaching as it should, the family unit is not at church. Why? Yeah. Because you've got football, we're tired, we work. I deserve to stay home. I have earned a day of rest.
Yeah, right. And that's the mindset. And when did that mindset start? 1940s, 1950s, right after World War II, 1948, the men came back from war, and everything in America had changed, right? Now the man no longer was the breadwinner, because during the war, the women had to go out and make a living. Then that woman's movement, I am a woman, hear me roar, watch me pass out on your floor, right? That whole thing started coming out, right? That whole, let's burn our bras, and I can do anything a man can do to make it better. And I'm not, women have, I'm sorry, I see that
yeah.
thing under you.
Well, okay, so, but there's a physical difference between a man and a woman.
Absolutely,
okay,
yeah.
And so, we're not talking about who could be a better accountant.
Mm-hmm. No,
okay?
No.
So, in certain respects, women and men are equal.
Yes, yeah.
In
I,
certain
I,
respects.
I do
however,
believe that, yes.
When you're talking about physical labor,
yeah.
you're talking about detail oriented.
Yes.
For example, most sewers are women because
yeah.
we have that attention to detail.
Mm-hmm. And you're nurturers.
Yes.
Men are not nurturers. Go ahead, sis.
I don't think it has to do with men and women being equal, but just that there's a job in raising children.
Amen.
So yeah, if you're
Thank
going
you.
To a job, your time is divided. You're
yes.
either
right.
You're going to focus on climbing the ladder,
yes.
or you're going to focus on raising. Like
right.
I'm a girl.
Mm-hmm.
I not hear me roar. I'm like I have kids, so I have to raise them. So I don't
Thank
work
you.
Right. I don't
you
say
don't
that
know
right or
where
wrong.
You are.
But if
I mean,
you outsource
children, yes. right?
You
we outsource our children.
You know, and
you're
that's
right.
why I wrote a book called Parenthood by Proxy.
Yeah,
which
and
was
so,
a great book.
If I were the devil. What I would do, I'd fire, if you want to take down any building whatsoever, what do you try to destroy first?
Foundation.
Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
The foundation of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Husband and wife as a unit raising the children. The mother is endowed by God with certain ministerial, compassionate things that they're nurturers, right? And guys, there may be some, but most of us ain't. You know, I can walk by a starving kitten and not think about it. I can't. It's, see, look, the girls say, "Oh."
Yeah, but you have strong leadership skills that you could lead the family, and then we can.
Yes, and that.
Like it's a team.
Amen.
Well, men protect.
Absolutely.
Men protect.
Men protect.
Wow.
Built to protect.
God put
the
right.
and the provider and the protector and the front line
right.
that the family can be. Back here, not under us, but we're protecting the family the way it's supposed to be. You're right, that's how it should be, but is that the way it is?
No.
Why not? What happened? Where did we lose it? Well, that would be the result of it. What happened was at the end of World War II,
cultural change.
Huge cultural change. There was a culture change that happened.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time where it was expected that if you were a man, you get a job. You're supporting your wife. You're standing beside your kids. Win, lose, or draw. Something happened when the men came back from World War II, the women were already out of the house.
And actually the rural, the whole rural.
The whole rural, yes.
Extended families.
Coming out of the fields, into the cities.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, a lot of them didn't come back either, so a lot of women were forced to raise their kids
yes. out
from that.
Right.
And I'm not.
So, but.
You're totally right on what you're saying. I'm just saying that that made a big difference.
But even in the onset of World War I and World War II, those were the horns we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. All right? The powers behind the powers we see. This has been a long, long, long play, a long process. And as they tore down the structure of the family, then they tore down the structure of the church. Then the church started preaching something other than Jesus Christ has been crucified. Preaching something other than the strong family. Right? Teaching a lie, basically. And people believed the lie rather than the truth. Because their hearts are evil. Go ahead, Nancy.
Also want to add another huge major problem is the kids in school being taught sex education.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of damage.
When did that happen? When did that come out where we actually had sex ed? Not just learning about what your organs are called. Yeah. Right? Now, there's nothing wrong with that. These are your organs and these are what they call, this is what happens with your organs. Okay? But when they started saying, well, the teacher on the table with a banana saying, this is what you do. All right? That is something that's being shown to our second and third graders in public education. They're showing full-blown pornographic images.
Yeah, I just want to add one other thing. There was a gentleman who was on talk radio, and he had called in. I said that his kindergarten daughter was told to go into the bathroom and explore.
Yes,
they're doing that with the kids.
All right, so you see, the foundation of the family was fractured. Mm-hmm. All right, so as that fractured, then the church fractured. When the church fractured, then there is no truth. That way, when they took prayer out of schools in the 70s, there was nobody to stand and say no. All right, when they took preaching the gospel, that don't get me wrong, women can do a masterful lot of everything. They are not allowed to preach from the pulpits. Why? The Bible says so. I'm not saying that they aren't educated enough. Paul says because of the sin, because they were deceived in sin, deceived by sin in the garden, because of that, it's part of the curse. Same thing with painful childbirth. It's part of the curse. That's why women are not allowed to preach behind the pulpit. Can you teach? Can you do many thousands of other things in the body? Amen and amen. What you can't do is usurp authority over men. All right,
it's just the order.
It's just the order of things, right?
Do you know the verse on that?
Yes. Let me run through my
biblical
thing here. But yes, we can. I'm sure it's. 2 Timothy?
Yeah, it's 1 Timothy 2.
Okay.
12.
2:12. 1 Timothy 2.
See, yeah, of course, you gotta say this too, is that women do things that men can't do.
Amen. Hey, yes.
By a long shot.
Amen.
It's got nothing to do with intellectual or anything.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It's just a law that God made.
I find women smarter than men.
Amen. A thousand times. My wife is a million times smarter than me.
Well, I think we've heard it put before, is like in the structure in an army. You know, you have, what is it, the general?
The general.
It is not that this person is more important than that
one.
This function is different than this function.
Yeah.
And this one is, because everybody can't be the general, because then we're just going to have
to. I can't
be
hurt either.
Right.
So,
praise God. I don't want that. You know?
We're not less than men. Yeah. It's we have a different function and a role. That's all. God is just being so we have order.
And it's not bad. It's God's order. And anytime you get anything outside of the order of God, you know, physical relationships are wonderful between a husband and a wife. But when you take that outside, like we did in the 70s and the 60s, and start just giving it to anybody, why buy the cow when you get the milk for free, right? That saying came up then. When you take it out of the context of what it's supposed to be, then it gets to be a cancer. And that cancer leads to blindness. God sent a strong delusion because people didn't love the truth. Anytime you say, I will not do this because the Bible says don't do this, you are hated. You're hated by the world. And that's a sign of the end times. It wasn't that way. You know, there was a time that if you became in the motherly way, right, before you were married, it was considered a shame, right? It was a shame. Or if you got married, and either one of you were not innocent, not just the male and the female, but either one of you were not innocent, that was a shame. It's not a shame no more. You know, why? The Bible says it is. The pastors say it ain't. All right? That's where the breakdown happened. You know, the church is lost. You know, we are. I would love to say we aren't, but really and truly, how many pastors are really preaching chastity? How many pastors will say it's okay to have an abortion or to have same-sex relationships or to steal or your pride's okay? We've lost. I'm not saying all, because there are some that still hold to the foundations. But those people are so few. They're so few. Considering any time that you got to paint the ceilings black and put in strobe lights to get people to come, right? You got a 12-piece electric band up there playing Bang Your Head, Twisted Sister kind of music. You know, we don't need Led Zeppelin to lead the church. But we've turned them. The church has. And what are the biggest, most fanciest churches? They all preach something besides the Bible. They'll get into men's ideals. They'll get into story time. Now, don't really want me to know my story. You need to know his story. Now, if his story intermingles with my story and it just kind of comes out in a sermon, there's nothing wrong with that. But that shouldn't be the crutch of the teaching. When I was 12 years old, blah, 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 blah. I don't care what you did when you were 12. What does Jesus do? Right? When Jesus was 12, he went to the temple. Okay, he taught the teachers. And he says that there'll be that falling away. We're just talking about that. He says that son of perdition, there's some identification to him in verse 4. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, or so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember Kevin talked about, where's the temple of God?
In
us. When we say that something that is not God is the Lord over us, our kids. That's why Jesus said, if you don't love me more than you love your mom, your dad, your kids, and yes, even your own life, you cannot be my student. You cannot be my disciple. When we put our kids above God, oh, I'd love to come to church, but the high school football game. I'd love to come to church, but my kids got an ice skating thing today. I'd love to come be a part. I'd love to study the Word of God, but my kids and I are on those travel teams, and we're playing soccer all over the world. That's the tail wagging the dog. You know, things are backwards then. And that gives way to this person because of the falling away, that son of perdition to arise. And as he arises, he calls himself God over the throne of God, which is supposed to be in the heart of every believer. Do we really believe that there's a kingdom of God? And then it's promised to us.
What does the Bible say? The kingdom of God dwelleth
in
within you.
Within you. That's 2 Corinthians? 1 or 2 Corinthians?
No, that's in the gospel.
Oh, is it?
And we're in the kingdom of God right now.
No.
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 The kingdom of God is at hand. What did Jesus mm-hmm. say that, right?
Yep. Yes, he did.
Here.
No, he said it's at hand. It's ready. All right. The groceries are in the car. Are they in the house? No, but they're at hand.
Right? They're nearby.
They're nearby. It's at hand. It's right here. Now, when Jesus was on the earth, the kingdom of God was in him. All right, he was the kingdom of God.
Well, there is an outward manifestation of the kingdom.
Yes, yes.
But the kingdom,
yes,
be like New Jerusalem will descend on the earth.
Right.
It talks mm-hmm. about it's going to come down as a city, four square. It'll actually, that is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Where Jesus Christ, when he returns, the kingdom of God will physically, kingdom of heaven,
right.
will physically be manifested, and the world will know it.
Right.
But there is also the kingdom of God is within
you. Yes.
So that ties into, can I just read a little example?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. And I'll just read this. In 19 and 20, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So this Antichrist system is also war on the temple of God. Because God dwells in a temple made without hands. The Bible says that God dwells in a temple that's not made with hands. Because this is the temple. He dwells within me. And the war is a war upon each individual.
Each individual.
And Satan wants to get into the kingdom, into the temple, so he can be worshipped as God within the very DNA of our body.
Jesus talked about the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 6, right?
Yeah.
And he talked about the Gentiles seek after certain things, food, clothing, shelter, to say it just real quick. But he says in 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven.
And his righteousness.
And
all these things will
shall
be added
unto you. Yes. The things that the Gentiles seek, God will take care of that for you. He'll feed you, clothe you, shelter you. Right? But first, you've got to be seeking not this kingdom, but that kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a kingdom coming.
And aligning that law.
Come on, that's good.
That, I mean, that's the outward manifestation that you believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to align yourself with
His
law.
Yeah.
I think.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And it is obedience. It's the hardest word in the Bible. Okay?
Yeah,
if you love me, you will obey. Yeah, it's a beautiful word.
It's
all yes.
Yeah.
It's a great word. It's the word that keeps us in the right way. You know, it keeps us spiritually minded about the kingdom that's to come, that we're invited to. Right?
That temple begins with
come
being
on.
Born again.
Yes.
Like Jesus told Nicodemus, ye
must be
born again. What is that?
Mm-hmm.
That's an understanding of I am a sinful, wicked individual who is separated from God, mm-hmm. deserving damnation. In Jesus Christ, I know that you are my
mm-hmm.
salvation.
And if you're not born again, you cannot even see.
You can't enter the kingdom
you
of God.
Can't, you, well,
can't
enter. You can't see it. You can't enter it. You cannot comprehend
it's faith.
What the kingdom is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're still an enemy of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And right now, on this planet, there's more enemies of God than there are those who are friends of God.
Mm-hmm.
Friends of Jesus said, if you think you're my friend, then you need to obey what I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? John, go ahead.
Speaking of which, there's one online preacher I listened to. He said the greatest four-letter word in the Bible is the word obey.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And it's fully trusting in His power, not our
gospel. Yeah.
Right? See, we can be worshiping good things and still miss the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to church, you can love your kids, you can be an amoral individual. We have kids that are moral. They don't lie, they don't cheat, right? You know, but on the outside you can't see them. They're not drunks, they're not druggers, they're not whoremongers, none of that stuff. But if they die today, they're going to go to hell. Okay, because they do not trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Because God looks on the heart.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't get around it.
Can't get around it.
I mean, if I drive down the road and I get angry at a guy that just cut me off, how does it feel to commit murder? He just murdered that person.
Yeah.
Because God looks on the heart.
Yeah.
That's why we're all guilty.
Yeah.
You know, we're all undone.
Well, you say you're sorry, and then you repent and go and accept His grace. That's why He died on the cross. So we can't. Right? We turn around and start heading in the right direction again.
But you can't do that without the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You see, without that, you just get angry and angry and angry, and you end up road rage, run them off the road and shoot them in the head.
But actually, to be born again is a singular event. To become a son or a daughter of God is an event. And they believe and they receive Jesus Christ, and they, like Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be. He's talking to a Pharisee.
Yeah,
right.
Ye must be a religious person. You've got to be born again. And he's saying, I don't understand. I've been born once. How can this be? He said, you're a religious leader in this country. You don't understand what I'm saying to you? You're born again from above.
Yes.
From Him. You know,
and so, but until that happens,
in Christ.
Until that happens, you can't even see. You can't wrap your mind around it.
And it's basically Romans 10, 9, and 10.
Yes.
That if you believe your heart, God raised Christ from the dead.
Yeah.
Believing that we're sinners is one part of it.
Yeah.
But even of those who commit suicide realize they're sinners and they have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Believing that Christ is God and that God raised Him from the dead. Mm-hmm. Confessing with your mouth. That's it.
Again, in all of this, it tells us that the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. All right? The mystery of iniquity, all right? The mystery of lawlessness, of sin, is already at work on the earth. We're seeing it, but it's, why do people just hate? What's the mystery behind? Why? I don't understand how somebody can hurt an innocent.
It's irrational,
yeah, but in their mind, they see it as life. They see it as righteousness. Right? I don't see how. Well, there's a lot of stuff. I don't see how, even in the depth of my depravity, I don't see how some people do the things they do. I don't understand how Jeffrey Dahmer ate people. I don't get it. But in his little mind, he believes.
It's a power given to him by the evil.
By the evil,
I know a couple of people who used to be satanic believers, and they would be just as powerful as you are in their belief.
In their belief, yeah. You know, you talk to a leftist, you know, a socialist.
Hell yes.
You talk to Ocasio Cortez or any Obama. They really believe what they're doing is right. Okay.
Just one of the situations, one of the guys I worked with said he used to be a preacher for Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, when he turned away from it, he says he was on a bus and he saw a guy ahead of him. And the guy was kind of acting crazy. And he says to the demon, I see you. And the guy turned around and growled at him. And but it's that much power. As little as they know about the Christian faith, we know about the satanic faith.
I've heard that about that before. Is people will say something in themselves, and if it's a prayer or something, somebody that's under some kind of will look over at them, and they'll know it.
Yeah,
they'll do something like that. You know.
And so anyhow, this thing's already at work, and it's
just, we don't know.
And it's becoming more and more exposed. It's no longer hidden like it used to be. Alright? It's been at work for a long time. There, John, in 1 John, said that there were many antichrists who have already come out from the teachings of righteousness. Many that call themselves Christian but walk away from the faith. Many of those, they're antichrists. And many of them, John says, well, those people have been multiplying. All right, that false teaching has been multiplying. And we can point out little things, but and it still comes down, you're right, the individual belief. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Right? And so you can hear good preaching, you can read it, but if you don't put it on you, in you, then it means nothing to you. Right? And there's a lot of people that call themselves Christian that are not. There's a lot of preachers that preach Jesus Christ, but
preaching in a different manner. God's all love. He'll never judge you. Right? God says, don't worry about it. Just live your life. God understands that you come from the dust. Well, yeah, he does, but he's still just. And he will send people to hell because they chose hell. Yes, sister.
I was just wondering something. I don't know if you're going to be getting into this, but I know most people are going to be taking the mark of the beast, even mm-hmm. some believers.
Yes.
So if there are people who maybe haven't taken it yet, will there be still people being born again during the second half of the tribulation?
Yes. Yeah, there will be.
There will be.
God's, yeah. In fact, just before the new millennium comes, just before that happens, God sends out an angel from the heavens and preaches the everlasting gospel to every soul that's on the earth.
People will still be getting saved.
Yeah.
So that's still the age of grace? Or is that a different age?
You'll be getting saved by not taking the mark, which means you'll be martyred. Okay? So will people still be accepting the Lord? The souls that were underneath the altar, Revelation 5, and they cry out to the Lord, "How long, Lord? Right? How long before you avenge our
sins?" It's the fifth seal.
It's the fifth seal. Yeah. I think it's the fifth seal. I don't know if it's chapter 5, but anyway, it's in there. That fifth seal, and he says, "Until the rest of." The rest are martyred in the same manner. So, even
I think that the there's the wrath of God, right? We're not appointed to wrath.
Yeah.
See, the preacher believers believe that tribulation and wrath are synonymous, but the words aren't even the same.
Yeah, they're not.
One is wrath and one is tribulation, and if you follow that word tribulation, you'll see that Christians experience tribulation.
Yeah.
So there's a point where after the seventh seal,
mm-hmm.
where there is the wrath of God poured on the earth. Yes. And I think at that point, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, and then it says that the kingdom of our God has come. And everything's come to an end.
Yeah.
So there is a point where before the great day, if you follow that phrase in the Bible,
the great day.
The day of the Lord. That, all that terminology is talking about that day. And when the Bible refers to that day, it's almost like the Lord, and really is, it almost seems like the Lord is fearful himself.
Yeah.
Like he's stepping back and looking at it, you don't want this. Because what's coming is, at that point, I don't think there's going to be, your question, I don't think there's believers on the world at that point.
Right.
I think they're gone, and God's fury and wrath and condemnation is coming down on the earth,
yes.
And it's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's over.
Alright. Yeah, Mike.
That's the last day.
I heard a thing on the legislature.
The legislature
trying to pass a law that says everybody that lives in New York, the state of New York, will be required by law to take the vaccine.
Yeah. And so, they're going to try to force you to take this, alright? The only way that they're going to have to strap me down to do that, okay? It's not something I'm going to stand in line to take. If I have to stop having money, then I'll stop having money because it's going to go to a cryptocurrency anyhow, right? There's coming.
We're going to walk away from it all.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's where Jesus says, when you see this abomination of desolation, pray that it's not in the wintertime, but anybody who is in Judea, anybody who is in the lineage of Christ, right? Flee. Run to the hills.
Don't even go back into the hills.
Don't go pack your stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Just leave. All right? And where are you going to leave? How are you going to take care of yourself? The earth is going to take care of you. Jesus promised that the earth will take care of you. That's why we talked a couple weeks ago about what mushrooms to eat, right? How to catch and clean a squirrel. Those type of things are very important to know.
I think Revelation 12,
come on,
it shows, it seems to show that when God's children, the Christian is his possession, It's not the word, it's not Satan's, it's his. So there is, like, if you read Revelation 12, it seems like it even talks about the Antichrist sending a flood after the woman, and that the woman, and that the earth opens its mouth and takes in the flood. There's like this, supernatural God's provision.
Protection.
And protection, yes. Because he's saying, step out by faith, come on. Come on, step away from her. Come this way. Right?
Yes.
Seems like it's an act of faith.
It is.
It's a total act of faith. You just go, you just basically plunge yourself on the mercy of God, and God goes, I got you.
Do we really believe what we say believe is real?
Right.
All right. And we really, and I think that God will give us the courage of the Holy Spirit when that time comes.
So
do I. Absolutely.
Yep.
But we do know that there will be many departing from the faith. We found that in 2 Thessalonians. We see it also in 1 Timothy. Departing from the faith. Giving heed to seducing spirits. Oh, don't worry. God's all up. You ain't got to worry about it. Just count your beads. Say your prayers to your saints. You know, trust the church. Trust the pulpits. Trust the buildings. Right? Seducing spirits. Believing things that are actually a lie. And it says that the church is going to be doing that. Again, it tells us why in 2 Thessalonians, because we love not the truth. We really didn't believe what we said we believed was real. Do we really believe that God will protect us? If you don't take the vaccine and don't wear a mask. If you leave your church open, will God protect you? Right? If you do not do what the government commands you to do, will God protect you? If it's God telling you to do it, will God protect you through it?
Amen.
Amen, He will. Well, we're living that, all right? I believe it so much that we leave the lights on. We'll do like Daniel, and three times a week, we're going to open the doors, open the windows, we're going to worship God right in front of everybody, and if they come and throw us into the lion's den, if God allows us to die, it's okay.
Yeah.
Right? But if He sees us through that, it's all right. The three Hebrew boys, I have no need to answer you, Nebuchadnezzar, on this matter. I will not bow down and worship you. Not going to do it. Even if God does not deliver me from your hand, I'm still not going to do what you tell me to do. Because I trust God more than that. God took care of them. When they went through that fire, the only thing that was burned off was the things that were binding them up. Right? Everything else. They didn't even have a small smoke on them. Right? And do we really believe that that account is real and it's for you? If you really believe it, then your actions will show it. Right? If you really believe that we're in this time, that the 70th week has started, the 7 years have started, and the covenant has already been signed with many, if we are experiencing these things, I mean, are we experiencing these things? All right? Has it ever in our lifetime or in our grandparents' lifetime, has it ever been like this? I'm pretty good on history, and I go back a pretty good ways. I'm not as old as some of you, but you know, I read a lot of stuff, right?
Well, it's been like this, but not in our generation.
Well, it's been like this, but it's never been, the technology was never able to do what the scripture said it could do.
Oh, so that's not right, isn't there?
Right.
But
the wickedness, the wickedness has been here in the Roman times and the Assyrian times and the...
Actually, I don't know the technology.
Yeah.
Just because I don't understand how the pyramids were built
right
the way they were.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it today with what we have.
Well, in those times, that was when the Netherlands were on the earth. All right, so you have these giants cutting stones. They're sticking together Lego blocks. To them, it was no big deal. You know, if you're 20 foot tall, you can pick up a pretty good rock. You know? Anyhow, in that mindset, you know, and I do believe that we have lost a lot of just natural God-given intelligence. You know, really and truly, how many of us could build an ark? A canoe. Not even an RV, a canoe. Could you build a canoe? The Indians could build a canoe. Right? How many of us could build a longboat that the Vikings built? Or even know how to cut a timber? I have a house right here in Caledonia where they have in the basement these timbers, these huge things. And the mortar, and they are perfect.
Yeah.
You can't stick a credit card between there. They're that tight. I can't do that with all of the, and that was all hand hewn.
Yeah.
No, I can't do that. No way. All right, so yeah, have we got Jupiter? Yeah, we're Jupiter from Jupiter. You know?
It's not evolution, it's the
evolution.
The evolution.
Yeah.
The evolution. That's right.
The longer I give, the longer I live, the dumber I get. Right? And
give me 5 telephone numbers off the top of your head.
No.
As a kid, we knew them all.
Yeah.
You want to call Johnny, you had his telephone number in your head.
Mm-hmm. Right? I can't even dial 911 without getting it wrong. My fingers are too fat for the buttons. And so, so we are digressing, no doubt. The evil of the world is on a swell. It's on the uprise, on the uptick. The ability in our time to number and mark every human being on the earth is being rolled out right now.
That's right.
It's being rolled out. The ability to track everybody's financial transactions is, the technology is already here. And those are the things that we're told to look out for. Because iniquity shall abound, lawlessness. Who here is so sick and tired of listening to the election lawlessness?
Mm-hmm.
All right? Who here is sick and tired of listening to the perversions that are going on in our schools and in our courthouses? All right? Iniquity, lawlessness, is abounding. I mean, up until O.J. Simpson, I didn't know that you could kill somebody and have enough money and get away with it. All right?
Hillary Clinton,
oh yeah. You want a death sentence? Become friends of the Clintons.
Yeah.
Right? And so, and not trying to just throw them under the bus. I mean, even Trump, right? He has enough money. If he was to do something absolutely lawless, he could buy his way out of it. The common person like me or you, if the FBI told us to turn over our cell phone and we crushed it with a rock instead, what do you think would happen? How did that happen in our judicial and our legal governments when those things were asked? Turn us over your information. All of a sudden, everybody believed everything they had.
Yeah.
Smashed it with hammers. Bleach wash them, I think they call it.
Bleach
bag. Yeah. And so, if you were to do that as a regular just person, how long do you think you would maintain freedom?
Mm-hmm.
Long enough for the cuffs to hit you. That's about it.
2 laws.
Yeah.
1 for them and 1 for us.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so, iniquity, lawlessness is abounding. Like it has. In our lifetime, with the technology and everything that goes along with it, it has never, ever been quite like this. With all the pieces in line. Sin has been sin ever since the beginning. Homosexuality has been here since long before Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? We know those type of sins have been happening forever. But never before did we have the technology to mark you, to take you out, this 5G thing.
Well, 5G's will accommodate.
Yeah.
All the
right.
Stream.
How are they going to do that? We've never had the facilities on the earth to take everybody who will not take the mark and have us all corralled in a certain spot.
I'm not sure of the truth of it. I had to take a fellow down to Belmont this morning, and he said that he heard that in Arkansas, they have grocery carts that when you put your hands on them, it starts to take the information, whether it's the fingerprint or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And so here we are.
Mark of the beast.
Here we are, and it must be well with your soul. if we really believe what we say we believe is real, then all of this is okay. Jesus told us not to worry about these things. He said, I told you these things beforehand. Right? We talked about the beast rising up. We talked about the little horn rising up. We talked about the 10 horns. Talked about the 7 heads. Talked about all that stuff over the last several months. All right? And remember, it is okay. It is, God is still sovereign. God is still in control. None of, the Lord is not standing on his throne in heaven scratching his head wondering, what do I do next? He's absolutely got this. And you know what? We might die a fiery death at a stake. Might be at a Christian roast one day. Is that okay?
They fed them the lions.
They fed them the lions.
That's right.
They lit them up as torches because they said they were the light of the world on the way to Rome. Wrapped them in oil rags and set them on fire. Alive. Don't think that the Socialist Progressive Democrat Party wouldn't do that to you.
Well, a lot of Republicans do.
Yeah.
That's right.
I guess I should have left Democrat off that. Socialist, liberal parties, right? The heathen. The unsaved.
Yeah.
I really believe that there's no difference between Democrat and Republican except the way you arrange the letters. Their ideology is the same. And FYI, Trump's probably not going to be the president.
We have to remember, the word says that even the members of your family
will
be turning you in.
Yeah.
We don't want to need to just leave it out there as a party.
Yeah.
You know what? Your brother can walk up and say, this is him right here. Take him to the lions.
Yeah.
Take his head off.
And we have pictures of that even as early as World War II. You know, the Nazi regime. Has anyone here ever read Mein Kampf?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, read it, man. And the what's that other one? The socialist agenda. Rules for Radicals. That's it. Rules for Radicals. And it lays out the conquest of the beast, and we're watching it happen. So what do you do? All right, because I know that's the next thought. What do? Hold on. Stand.
Make sure you stay right where you're supposed to be.
Amen. See, I can't take care of nobody else. It's this vessel right here. I've got to be prepared to believe what I believe is real until I die. And then my faith becomes sight.
Woohoo! That's okay. What's the purpose of this synagogue, of being brought into the synagogues to be killed or whatever that it says in the Bible?
To be judged. Well, back in Jesus' day, if you were a Jew, you got judged in the synagogue. They brought Paul into the synagogue to judge him, right? If he really was teaching about Jesus Christ. All right, so in the time, we'll be brought before the Liberty Bible Institute. Okay? When we're brought before that, the churches, the synagogues, since I'm not a Jew, I don't think they'll bring me to the synagogue. But since I am a Christian, I think that they'll bring me to the folks who are left in charge of the so-called Christian church.
So that represents a synagogue then?
It could. And the synagogue's a building, right? It's a place where the religious people are now. So when you stand up for Jesus Christ, and they bring you, because it talks about the courts and the synagogues, right? So you'll be brought before the courts. So there's a world court, the regular court on the outside, but then the big massive churches that are around here, we say marriage is between a man and a woman, and life begins at the moment that the egg and the seed meet, and that first division of self. Actually, we believe it starts before that. But Jeremiah was told that before you were created in your mother's womb, I knew you, right? So I believe it was before that. But still, and it's just science. All right, we'll stick with science. And we'll look for this. If on Mars or the moon, they found the multiplication of genal stuff, all right, they found water, and would they not call it life? But inside of a mother's womb, it's not life.
Right. Good point.
Convenience. So anyhow, those are the thoughts. Any questions? I mean, we have gone through all of these, but if you want, it's 2 Timothy 3. We can come back to this next week, right?
Yeah.
All right, next week we'll come back to this, and we'll fully unwrap it because we'll be starting into the churches. All right, in the Revelation, Ephesians, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And we'll be looking at that because there are some things that God hated about those churches, and there are some things that God said, I like about you. And then for the things He didn't like, I have a remedy for that. All right? There's a fix. God has a fix. Isn't that great that God has a fix? But we've got to believe what we say we believe is real enough to adjust to the fix. Right? If your vehicle, you're driving it down the road, and all of a sudden, 4 out of the 8 cylinders stop working, and the mechanic says there's a fix. He says, I don't believe that. What happens to your vehicle? Before long, the engine seizes. Right? Same thing with the body of Christ. There's a fix for this.